kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. We are back after our holiday break and joining as usual is Cole. Cole, how are you doing?
I survived.
You survived the time
somehow.
Off?
Somehow. Yeah. Like, I had to find actual things to do with my time rather than just play review. We're not alone.
No, we're not. We have two friends joining from MAGFest.
We use the term friend loosely. Hold on now.
Yeah. First off, my room buddy, Ian Doc Havoc Griffin, how are you doing?
I am doing fantastic.
And then also the second most huggable man at MAGFest, aside from me, Big Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing super good, man. Thanks for having me.
I'm thrilled to have you on. I don't get you on enough. Have you been on before? I think you have.
I have been on once before, yes.
Talking about MAGFest.
Talking about MAGFest. Yeah. It's like people know me for talking about MAGFest or something.
Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah, right.
So how was your MAGFest?
Mine was great. It was the first time in a super long time that I've actually been able to like enjoy the event for event type things. Everything ran really smooth. Our staff, our volunteers this year were absolutely bonkers. They were so good. And honestly, like the things that, you know, I did have to weigh in on were very quick. They were very simple. And, you know, I was able to continue on and enjoy my weekend. It was crazy. I went to the game room. I played arcade games. I played console games. I did a couple challenges. I saw a panel. Saw concerts. It was wild. Now I get why everybody comes every year. It's so cool.
It's like it's a fun time. It's quite
the
difference
when you're not working the event.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So what was different as opposed to working? Did you just get to enjoy the whole time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you know what to do with yourself?
Not really. See, that's the crazy part. It was basically like, you know, me and my wife would be like, okay, let's go to the game room. Who wants to go to the game room? And we like hit up our little, you know, like everybody has their little inner circle chat. We'd hit that up real quick and be like, all right, we're going to go to the game room. Everybody meet up down there. And then like, you know, me walking through MAGFest, people notice me. I end up getting like 10 or 15 tag-alongs, and we all go down to the arcade and hang out for a while. And then like somebody will be like, oh man, this concert's starting. And it's just like, well, I guess we're just not going to arcade anymore. It's time to go watch some awesome music. Doop-a-doop-a-doop. up to the ballroom we went. It was wild, man. I didn't have any like destined places to go other than the panel that I did and the auction. And yeah, it was cool to be able to kind of just like sporadically go somewhere and not have to think twice about it.
What panel did you do?
I did the Sonic Fights Robotnik Live Sonic fanfic panel. Me and Dom were part of this group. Basically, there's an online Sonic convention. It's online only. It's not a physical event. And it's everybody tunes into this one radio station, and it's all Sonic content for like a whole week. It's rad. But there was this one group of people that were doing this thing called, they were just reading Sonic fan fiction, and they would always read these stories called Sonic Fights Robotnik, and they're written by this guy named Sonic Fan back in the late 90s.
The name doesn't fit.
They are just real gems. Like every single one of them are incredible. The first one in the first paragraph, Knothole Village gets hit by like 100,000 nuclear missiles. That's the first paragraph of the first volume. There's 9 volumes.
Oh my God.
I was hoping that was going to devolve into penises. Like they would be penis shaped missiles or something. And now I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, because I heard a certain genre of Sonic fan fiction is pretty infamous.
Yeah. Well,
okay, so this one's definitely not where you guys were going. This one's just on the scale of ridiculous.
Like, you said fan fiction, and my brain immediately drove into dicks. I couldn't help it.
Fan fiction equals porn in today's world. Let's face it. But it's just like, it's so weirdly written, and there's like, in the stories, there's like narrator lines for like you as a person to click on a YouTube video to cue music for the next part. Like, it's really crazy. Oh yeah, absolutely. So these people were reading this, and then we got hooked in with a friend, and they asked us, me and Dom, like 8 years ago, to come on their show. And Dom, of course, had the piano and, you know, soundboard and synthesizer and sound effects queued up. And we had a vocoder to change our voices, and me and him went just absolutely crazy on this thing. And they were like, that's it. You guys are part of this from now on, every year, forever. Let's do this. And so far, like once a year, we get together with the Sage crew and we just go crazy online for 4 hours.
That is amazing.
Wow.
And you brought it to MAGFest, or has it always been at MAGFest?
No. This was the first year that we did it with the full setup, with the keyboard and the vocalized vocoder changer, whatever you want to call it, the voice synthesizer, sound effects, laptop. We did the whole thing for the first time this year. 2 years ago, we did a script, like a script style reading that was pretty funny, but this is way better. Like, if we do this again next year, we're definitely going to go all out again, because it was ridiculous.
Oh, is this anywhere on YouTube? Can we see this?
It will be on YouTube. All of the panels at MAGFest get recorded, and if they get approved by the people that did the panel, because they have to review them just to make sure, then yeah, they get posted to the MAGFest YouTube channel.
Hallelujah. I'm going to go looking for that. I'm a little disappointed there's no dicks, but I still need to be involved in this.
It's well, if you want to see something having to do with dicks, then you should probably look for the video of the charity auction, or any of them, because there's plenty of dicks involved in that, believe it or not.
Charity auction is the one that includes the penises.
Oh, ask Joe, he'll tell you. I didn't get to see it this year.
What did I miss?
Oh man. We sold the MAGFest VIP experience package for $5,000.
Oh, wow. My shit.
That answers my next question. It's like, how did the auction do?
Oh, yeah. So the auction, as a total, for the first time, we raised over $22,000 at just the auction. That's four hours.
Nice.
And then Mega Manathon this year broke $10,000 for the first time.
Nice.
And then the 501st, I think, raised another $2,000. So the charity department really did well this year. I think we're sitting just north of 34K, which beats our old record by about 10,000.
Damn.
You need to bring back the table flipping.
Oh, see, okay. You're the third person to bring this up.
Make me number table 4. Flipping.
Oh, all right.
Can I be number 5, even though I don't know what happened?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can totally be number 5.
Absolutely. Yeah. Number 5, officially in the book. So table flipping for charity was a crazy thing that we actually came up with at a PAX event. Not to stir up too much trouble there. Needless to say, we had this idea. We gave it a little bit of prototyping. And then at MAGFest, or a couple months before, I was like, hey, Dom, I've got this crazy idea, and I'm not sure that we'll even be allowed to do it, but I want to buy 6-foot banquet tables, like real cheap plastic ones. I want to put a bunch of stuff on them, and I want people to give me $40 for charity to flip the table, and then we'll clean it up and set it up again, and we'll just treat this like a service. And after some interesting conversations with the hotel staff and the people that okay those kind of things, we got it approved, and table flipping was born. We did it for, 4 years? 4 years. And the first year was super great, right? We raised like 7,000 through the weekend with table flipping, but the
problem is crazy when you think about it.
It was bananas. We were like, people were giving us like $200 to like put a bunch of crazy stuff on the table, and then like somebody would give us like $250 and we put two tables on top of one another and they could flip both of them at the same time. it was wild. The super flip at the end of it, which is where me and Huey, the other guy that helped me run it, we would take all of the tables that we had and we would stack them all on top of one another in a mega stack, and we would flip that whole thing. those videos can be found on online, not on the MagFest YouTube, I don't think, but if you just search MagFest table flipping, you'll find it. The last one we did was 5 tables tall, and we flipped the whole stack.
That sounds dangerous.
It was super dangerous, and I was really worried that it was going to fall back on us, but luckily it didn't.
Yeah, I love the table flipping. I think my favorite part of the table flipping was that while you were waiting in line, there was a puzzle you could put together.
Oh, yeah.
And if you paid so much, you can take the table that they were working on the puzzle and flip that.
It just ruined it. And like the people working on the puzzle had zero say in it. Like if somebody paid for it, I legitimately took the table away from them and made them watch someone flip it.
Start all over.
There was an incentive the first year that my now wife, then girlfriend, hated, and nobody went for it, which I was kind of bummed about. I said, for $1,000, I'll lay on the table and somebody can flip it. And I even said that people could pool money and nobody ever went for it. It's kind of a bummer.
I didn't know that was on the table.
I'm hanging up now.
There it is.
Why did the table flipping stop?
So in order to run table flipping, you have to have like 4 or 5 volunteers there for like 6 or 8 hours. So it's like a ton of volunteer effort, and the returns that we were getting for charity out of that were like halving each year. So it lost this little niche, and then that was the wrap. Like that, you know. The last year we did it, out of the whole weekend, table flipping made like $2,200. Like it didn't even make sense for us to use that much volunteer power when, you know, other departments could be short staffed and using those volunteers accordingly.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll make a comeback someday.
Maybe it's funny you say that, because we actually talked about it like 2 or 3 days ago, I think. It was brought to our attention in the staff Slack for MagFest, and we were talking about it in there. I don't know. If I could find a better way to do it that required less manpower, then I'd be about it. Just for the novelty sake of like, hey, this cool little niche MagFest thing is back. But I don't know. We'll see. I doubt it's going to happen next year.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, right?
It does. Mm-hmm. That is super true. As you could say for Chromalodeon that played this year, and it was so good.
I missed that one. I think I was doing dinner when that one happened, but thankfully the VOD's on YouTube.
Yeah, and I've already watched it twice. It's so good. It's so good. I was front row the entire, I was on the fence the whole show. It was amazing.
Nice. What other bands did you see?
Night of the Round. Those are my guys. Those are my buddies. Bit Brigade, what, like, absolutely destroyed the stage. It was incredible.
That was so good.
We saw Megaran. I saw the end of Steel Samurai. I saw the end of Wreck the System. Lame Genie. First year guys out this year, put on an amazing show. I absolutely adore that band. If you haven't listened to Lame Genie and you like video game metal in any shape or form, Lame Genie is the band you need to check out.
I am writing that one down because I did not check them out.
Their YouTube presence is magnifique. It's perfect. They released a video like a month ago for their cover of Chill Penguin. It's video game metal perfection.
Nice. I will definitely have to check them out for the show sometime.
The cool thing about that band, and I won't go too on about, I could talk about these guys for years. The cool thing about this band is it's got like the nu metal sound, and I don't mean nu metal as in NU metal. I mean like nu NEW.
I wanted them to sound like Limp Bizkit.
Right? Yeah. They've got like that newer kind of chunkier metal sound, but they play VGM like old school bands where they stay super, super true to the music itself. So it's got kind of like that new versus old flavor to it. It's awesome. It's just exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah, that sounds right up my alley, so I definitely have to check them out big time. Ian, what all bands did you see?
Let's see. I went and saw, geez, what did I see? Whole thing's a blur. I know I saw Bit Brigade. I can never remember the full name. Was it like Sam What's His Nuts and the Donut Slayers?
Sam Mulligan and the Donut Slayers.
Sam Mulligan and the Donut Slayers.
Adam, you didn't see them, did you?
I didn't. I missed that show, and that is the number one show I regret missing. Holy cow. Because the lineup for that show was all-stars all the way across. Everybody that was on that stage for that band was a rock star.
Well, I wasn't, but close.
Well, I mean, you know.
Do you know what's going on with the VOD of that? Because it was on YouTube, and now it's gone.
They did reply to your comment. Apparently the band asked Magfest to take it down because I guess I don't remember the specific reasons, but they wanted to go over it or something to that effect.
Yeah.
So it was a formal request by the band.
Yeah.
Hopefully it shows up soon because I want to rewatch that and enjoy it from the crowd's perspective instead of backstage.
Yeah.
But Ian, who else did you see?
Of course, Frank Lepaki and the Tiberian Sons.
Oh, that was so good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty much the coup de grace right there. Oh, man.
Danimal was a good show, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that one. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like Danimal's so many concerts, so little time.
Yeah, that's the problem, right?
That is the general problem with MAGFest.
Samus put on a set at the Mega Marathon stage that was incredible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God, super, I didn't know she was good. There.
Yep, absolutely. She did a set. Megaran did a set over there. There was a lot of really good sets over there. Crunkwitch did a set over there. The Flabbercasters played. It was super fun over there.
Flabbercasters. That's a hell of a name.
Professor Shy Guy played over there as well. Yep.
Wow.
The Flabbercasters are part of the reason that MAGFest is going to be in the Guinness Book of World Records now this year.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You didn't hear about that?
No.
Is that the wizard thing?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Oh. I heard about that.
So like we did most it.
People.
Yeah, we did it last year, and the Guinness Book of World Records said we didn't have enough proof. We didn't have enough like individual wizard documentation, and some of the wizards that they did see didn't meet what they considered to be the criteria. So this year, the people that organized all that at the Mega Marathon stage, they hired photographers. They had a checklist of all the things that you had to have, no questions asked, before you were allowed to be counted as a wizard.
Like what?
You were then, after being registered, you were then sent to the photographer, and free of charge to you, you were taking a picture individually from two different angles for proof.
Wow.
And then they took a single video of the entire crowd four or five times over.
Okay, so out of curiosity, what does one need in order to be recognized as an official wizard?
So they need to have, they need to have a cape, they need to have a beard, they need to have a hat, and they need to have a staff or scepter or wand of some variety. Not a cape, a robe is what I meant to say.
Okay.
Huh. So it has to be all dude wizards?
So I think the beard thing doesn't apply for women or people identifying as.
Okay. I was going to say that sucks.
Well, yeah, that would be
But yeah, okay, sure. We're good again.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your work.
Yeah, it's I'm only in it because of the word MAGFest. I had nothing to do with the setup. That was the Brothers Grimm cosplay that set all that stuff up. Those guys are awesome.
It's still pretty cool to be in the Guinness Book of World Records.
It super is. I can't lie. I'm really excited about that.
So is MAGFest as a company in there, or is it just the event that's in there? How does that work?
It's going to be just as the event.
Mm.
They're going to get the credit for it, but it's going to be also credited to happening at MAGFest. So
that's
and that's the way it should be, because they earned it. Indeed. It's their record.
I mean, yeah, if they got if they did the legwork, they should definitely get the credit for it.
Oh yeah, 100%. And if even if they were like, no, it should go to MAGFest, we're like, no, it's going to your cosplay company because you guys set it up. Like, we didn't put any legwork into it. We just said, yeah, sure, go for it. And we provided like a touch more security just to make sure that large of a gathering of people was cool. But past that, we did nothing, you know?
Damn.
I can just imagine if there'd been beef between two wizards.
Oh, yeah, it would have been ridiculous.
Let's just start casting spells at each other.
It was super fun over there. Everybody who registered as a wizard got, like, you know, like Mardi Gras style beads, and they had a bunch of like really good, like, Crunkrich was playing, and like I said, the Flabbergasters played, and there was just a lot of good, really dancing music. Everybody had a super good time. It was awesome.
That is awesome.
Fantastic.
The crazy shit that happens at MAGFest is just, it blows my mind.
Yeah. Like, I always hear you guys talk about MAGFest, but I've never been. And so, like, when
that's
got to
change next year, by the way.
I know. I always hear the stories, and then I'm sitting here going, never in a million years would the shit y'all talk about happening at MAGFest be what I think of if somebody said, hey, I'm going to MAGFest.
That's fair. That's super fair. And you know why that's really cool, too, is because MAGFest isn't like, people don't come to MAGFest solely for the reason that we're a video game convention. Because if they did, it would get pretty old pretty quick, right? Because we're playing retro games, and while there is a fan base for that, I don't know if it's like considered a quote-unquote mainstream fan base. What a lot of people come to MAGFest for, or continue to come to MAGFest for, is the community. And the community is always doing completely off-the-wall stuff that it's impossible to anticipate. And like, the community is what builds these like crazy friendship. Like, I've met people that I would have never met. I met Joe because of MAGFest, and I would have never known him.
How many years ago was that?
13 years ago. Because of a video game convention that I found out about online through a girl that I was dating at the time. And I had never been to a video game convention before, and here I am booking a hotel at the Sheridan Premier in Tyson's Corner, Virginia, going to MAGFest number 5. What a crazy ride it's been since that day, huh?
Dude, it's been a crazy ride since the beginning. It's nuts how big it's gotten.
It's like, I feel that way, and you've got 5 years on me, so I can't even imagine.
Yeah, Ian has it too. Ian's another lumberjack.
I remember back in the day when the arcade and the consoles could fit in the panel room. Get the hell off my lawn.
Not only could they had to.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, the growth of MAGFest it blows my mind how big the thing has gotten.
It blows my mind, too, and I even get to watch the graph go as, you know, the registrations come in and the hotels come in and all that stuff. And it's, you know, you just like watching the attendance numbers go higher and higher, and where it sits above where it was the year before. It's crazy. Like, everybody told us that when we went to the Gaylord that we were crazy because that venue jump was huge. And you know what? They were right. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. It was a major risk, but because of that family feeling, because of the fan base that this event has, we were able to make it work because so many people came out to support it. You know what I mean? And that's like the coolest thing about MAGFest. That's what I love about it so much, is it's so community driven that there's just like, you don't have to worry about all the stuff you have to worry about at other conventions. We're not going to shove ads down your throat. We're not going to push you in a direction that you don't want to go. We're not going to have content that's super, super linear. You're going to come, you're going to see some cool stuff on our schedule. You're going to see some cool bands you want to see, and you're going to meet 10,000 of your new best friends.
Like, only 10,000?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Only 10,000. Exactly.
What was attendance this year? I think Paul was saying it was like 22.
Yeah, it was just north of 22.
Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Where does it go from here?
That's a good question. That's a super good question. We're hanging out at the Gaylord for a while. We've got a contract with them for a couple of years yet. I mean, you know, we've never stopped looking around. you know, we've never halted just because we've been with the Gaylord for so long, and we love it there. We really do. They treat us great now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're amazing to us, and everybody in National Harbor is super cool.
Well, yeah, you sell out the entire harbor in like an hour.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, just you're giving me like flashbacks to September. Yeah, so like it's really cool, but like just because we have those standing relationships, it would be really stupid of us and really irresponsible as a company to not keep researching other options just in case, you know, something crazy happens. The obvious move would be like seeking out a convention center, but then you have to weigh out things like the 24 hours. To me, my personal opinion is it's not MAGFest if it's not 24 hours.
Exactly.
And I will hold that value until I can't speak it out loud anymore. And then I will button mash it into my computer until the day I die. Like it MAGFest, as long as I have any kind of say in it, will be 24 hours.
If I can't be up at 5 a.m. and have that itch to go play a game and be able to, what's the point?
Exactly. That's how I feel. If you can't get done partying with your friends, but you've still got that little shot of adrenaline, that little energy boost that you need to just work out before you go to bed, it's 3:30 a.m, you're at home, what the hell are you going to do? You're going to sit down in front of your computer, do the same old, or are you going to go hang out with 10,000 people in the arcade? I'd much rather go to the arcade.
Oh, yeah.
So
sleep is for the weak.
Right.
See if we can find a dozen other guys and hit the BattleTech battle pods.
Exactly. But no, like the obvious move for us would be to go to a convention center. But again, there's the pluses and minuses of that. Going 24 hours at a convention center is possible, but it's insano expensive. Yeah. I'm talking on the counts of millions with an S per day. Shit.
Yeah, because I mean, you have to have everyone on the on the clock.
Yeah, and you have to pay for their union overtime, which is double time and a half when working overnight on a weekend.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's banana pants expensive.
Yeah, especially riding on the coattails of New Year's.
Exactly. So the one thing that we've been exploring for a long time now, the last 4 or 5 years, is rather than growing vertically anymore, trying to grow a bit horizontally. And we're doing that with expansions to BitGen, with MagWest, with the Mag Labs events, Mag Stock, you know, exactly. Other events that we have throughout the year to kind of spread the love a little bit. And it makes it more fun for attendees because you don't have to go that long between events, you know?
True. Very true. I have to take a second to give a quick shout out to No Time for Games for dropping 400 biddies. Happy New Year to you too as well. Thank you for that. You are appreciated.
Thank you, No Time.
Heck yeah. Thank you. That's awesome.
Love them biddies.
They're
so shiny and pretty.
No Time's been holding on to those for like the last 3 weeks.
I don't know what to do with myself. The morons aren't streaming right now. I needed that time off. Having 2 weeks off for MAGFest, it was so refreshing. I was originally going to take another week off, but we have an interview next week, and I figured I need to have some kind of show talking about MAGFest. I can't just go away for 3 weeks and not talk about MAGFest. I need to talk about fucking MAGFest.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's written in your literal DNA.
Yeah.
First rule of MAGFest is always talk about MAGFest.
Talk about it constantly. I think I've annoyed so many streamers by asking, are you going to MAGFest? Why aren't you going to MAGFest? PAX is for bitches. Go to MAGFest instead.
Wait, do you want to be treated like a zoo animal or do you want to have fun? Come on, let's party. That's the one thing. Let me tell you, that's the one thing I hate about trade shows. Like, I love PAX. Don't get me wrong. I love PAX. They have treated MAGFest over the moon graciously. But I hate major trade shows where the guests and like the people that, you know, people come to see are so heavily guarded and secured and like linearly driven between like, okay, you're going to be in this room for an hour doing autographs and then you're going behind the scenes, never to be seen by human eyes until you get to your panel. And then again, never to be seen by human eyes until you come up and do this thing at night. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I hate that. MAGFest is awesome because we tell our guests openly, like, look, We ask if you want to do panels, do you want to do the autographs? You know, what do you want to do? Okay, well, the rest of your time's completely yours. What do you want to do? and they get the chance to go around and have those experiences. Like, where would you, what other event would you get the composer of Mega Man 2 in the Bit Brigade hotel room hanging out, having a beer? Like, yeah. Where's that happening?
Well, I mean, I remember a few years back when John St. John took part in a drinking contest, or, well, a shot contest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At his late night panel. You know, he also, yeah. John St. John still,
no, in our room.
Day,
yeah, in our room.
Wow.
To this day, he holds the MAGFest record for most room parties attended in a weekend.
Oh, Jesus. What's 41. The number?
41.
41?
41.
God,
he had at least one drink in every room and stayed for at least 10 minutes. Those were his rules.
Damn.
He hit 41 room parties, said he'll never do it again.
When's he going to be back?
Right. I don't know. I'm not in the guest department. I don't make those calls, unfortunately.
What calls do you make now?
Hey, all the ones that no one else wants to. And I obviously, you know, I help with charity department decisions. But even with that, my wife Ashley, little Steve, and medium Justin. So now we have big Adam, medium Justin, little Steve, and then my wife Ashley. the three others tend to run the department pretty much year round, and they just kind of ask me for my opinions on things. Which is pretty cool, and I help them with the purchases and stuff because I have the company card.
Nice.
And then, yeah, I host the auction with DAC, of course.
I just got to know who I have to blow to get the one-ups back to MAGFest.
Oh, man. You know, I briefly talked to William about that on Sunday night. I don't know, man. I also don't have any say in music. I actually, very on purpose, stay as far away from music choice music department choices as I can, because I mean as you know, my time in MAGFest, most of it was spent hanging out with the bands, because a lot of them were from Baltimore. They were actually just my buds from home, so like, nice. I spent a lot of time with the bands, hanging out all with you know, all the different musical acts, and I feel like that I'm too friendly with any of them to be like, sorry man, you can't play the biggest video game music festival in the world this year, sorry. Like, no, I don't want to be that guy. Let the music department handle that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, because you don't want people thinking that you're there in for exactly. The event.
Yeah, and
then when I you mean, have to say no, then, you know.
Yeah, I'm the bad drama. Guy, right. And I mean, it happens. Since I was elected onto the board of directors, it happens a whole lot. It's like, I know that this thing, but do you think you could pull a string here? It's like, no, I can't do that for you, because then, you know, A, it's immoral to begin with, and B, like, if I do it for you, what's to say I won't do it for everybody and then ruin everything? So,
no,
just don't do it.
The only strings I want pulled is I want to know when the next MAGFest is so I could book a hotel now.
Yeah.
Bro, we announced that closing ceremonies. Where have you been?
I was recuperating. Hungover, probably.
January 2 to 5.
2 to 5, damn.
This is announced at closing ceremonies, yep. This is the first time we've ever been able to do that.
That's cool.
Well, everyone usually just assumes that it's the weekend after New Year's.
Yeah, until we throw a hellacious curveball and make everybody come in February. It's like, well, we'll never do that again, and that was not our choice.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't it have to do with, like, the Washington Redskins or something?
No, it was some kind of big money event. I have no idea what the affiliation was, but they basically, I think it was something political related, and they needed the space, and we were offered a buyout for our weekend for a lot of money, and essentially paid for the ability for us to have a moving company help us get in and out faster, because the weekend we got had shorter load in load out times. So basically we just ended up evening out.
Man, that works.
So yeah, it was cool. It was weird having it in February. The whole year felt off.
Yeah.
Again, I still feel weird doing it in January. To me, MAGFest is still a fall thing.
Yeah, it's still in October. No, not anymore. And it hasn't been for a very, very, very long time.
I know, but I'm stuck in the past.
It hasn't been October since, like, what, 3?
Yeah. Something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right.
Why the January timing for it?
Because January is the time that no one wants to get a hotel.
and that's back in the day,
super honest answer.
And back in the day when we were all poor college students, that was like the tail end of winter break, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So generally.
It kind of aligned with that for the, yeah, exactly, like the college and like high school and, you know, that kind of crowd for school break. But honestly, we, you know, for a long time that we would just go to hotels and just be like, hey, we do this big thing. When's a good weekend for you? And every, just universally, the worst week for hotels is the weekend right after New Year's because nobody's traveling. You're done with the holiday rush. You're done with the New Year rush. Nobody's traveling. So hotels just have a completely dead week that week. So we're like, okay, well, what if we sell out all of the hotels in your city? Boom. We get the hotel space. We make them a ton of money. And we get the convention space and the hotel space for a whole lot cheaper than we would have in an in-demand weekend.
Yeah.
So it's really an affordability thing.
Yeah. Although I always love the initial skepticism of a new location. It's like, yeah, we have this big thing. And we could kind of sort of sell out your hotel. Oh, really? Yeah, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
3 years later, hey, when are you guys coming back?
Right. And that's how it was with the Gaylord, man. It was just like, yeah, we do this event. It's pretty big, but like we don't know what it can be because last year we had to cap it. It should be pretty big.
3,000 at the Hilton?
Yeah. It's like, it should be pretty big, that, right? Yeah, okay, let's try to do this. And then we did it, and it was great. And then we did it a year later, and they were like, whoa, your guys' growth is ridiculous. How about we talk about future plans?
Like, yeah, shut up and take our space.
Yeah. So. Yeah,
I would have thought that, like, the weather would be an inconvenience more than anything at that time of year.
Last year we had, we were coming out of a blizzard.
Yeah. Or, I mean, it snowy. It's, yeah. I mean, it's, there have been some good, like, this year was amazing.
Oh, this year was amazing.
Like, yeah, it really was.
Every day. It was perfect.
Yeah. But, I mean, I remember there were some years where, like, I remember, like, ice frosted all over the sidewalks and it looked like it was about ready to turn into Planet Hoth. But, I mean, it's.
Was that 3 years ago? The first year that they did the Mag Prom with the one up, obviously with the one ups planet, the ice storm happened that night.
Oh, yeah. That was it. Yep.
Cause I remember, Tina hurt her hand on a wheelchair and I ended up going to the hospital with her and we couldn't get a taxi back to the hotel because of the snow. So one of our friends left the hotel and came over in his truck and picked us up.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah. That was fun.
The worst one that I remember was Mag 9. And the reason I remember that being so bad is because most of the loadout staff, that was back when MagFest was pretty small still. And like all of the department heads didn't just focus on their departments. Like when MagFest was over, everyone was cleaning everything. It was still super joint effort like that. And a lot of people had to bail because it was a really bad ice storm or really bad snowstorm, something like that. And then we had our trucks at the Hilton. They kept sliding off the loading dock because the ramps were all iced up. Oh, so it was just taking forever to get everything loaded safely. We had a guy get injured that year on the loading dock. Loadout ended up taking something like 16 and a half hours. It was,
brutal.
It was absolutely brutal. I remember because like the night before I had like 3 hours of sleep and then I hosted the charity auction for 3 hours. We did closing ceremonies. We did feedback panel. You know, everybody was saying goodbyes and then it was just like loading. Go, 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 go. And damn. Then it was ridiculous.
I got to say, I miss those days, though. I miss when MagFest was capped at 3,000. It was such a more intimate convention, but... it's crazy to see how it's grown. It's really impressive to see how big it's gotten and how many people go and especially the guests that you get now. Like fucking Austin Creed was there. That was insane.
Yeah,
that was wild. I was really amped about that.
I'm sad I didn't get a chance to meet him because, you know, his autograph session sold out. If there's
I got really lucky. I'm friends with Ran, and he was there with Ran, and I got to meet him. Nicest guy on planet Earth. Like, I could not believe it.
Oh,
and
you should have messaged me.
His nerd cred checks out so hard. Like, if anybody thinks that he's just like a fake nerd for TV, check yourself, because he was at 2:30 in the morning playing DDR with the best of them in the arcade.
Damn.
He was
getting it in. Yeah, it's cool that he was just walking around, too. I've seen so many pictures of him just random posing with people on the show floor.
Oh yeah, he's just hanging out, man. He was
dressed
having
up
a great
as Parappa.
Yeah. Dude, he came out on Mega Ran's set. He came out on rollerblades on main stage. It was hilarious.
That's so cool.
Rolling around, and then they did their opening song or their entrance music or whatever. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, that is awesome. There's another concert I'll have to catch up on.
Yeah, the Mega Ran concert was super good. Man, the setup this year for Mega Ran's concert was awesome, too. The audio was really, really good. All the visuals were super good. We had the lasers going. The fog was going. It looked wild.
Yeah, the lasers were awesome. Who was that? Christoph doing the lasers?
Yeah, killed it. Absolutely killed it. Can't wait to see what he brings next year. Holy cow.
I was I'm friends with Christoph, so I was pumped when I sent him a message. I'm like, hey, what are you doing for... What the hell was it? 2:00 for Sam Mulligan and the Donut Slayers. He's like, oh, I'm going to be at the Chip Rave or some chip show. And then he showed up like 2 songs into Sam Mulligan's set. And he's like, fuck it, I'm doing lasers.
Nice. Nice. Okay.
So I called in a favor to help out the Donut Slayers.
Very cool. I mean, that band is made of legends. So, yeah.
I love super groups like that at MAGFest. Where else are you going to find groups like that?
You're not. Just like, especially like in VGM, you're not. And a lot of them, or at least the two really major players, or I guess 3 major players that I've ever known, all at least started at MAGFest. You know, Metroid Metal had their first show. The Super Smash Bros. Had their first show at MAG. Now you have the Sam Mulligan and the Donut Slayers playing their first show as a band at MAG. Like, nowhere else are you going to find that. And that's, again, because of the community. I can't drive that home enough. The community is everything. It's perfect. I love my MAG family to death.
Did the Suns debut at MAG, or did they play elsewhere before?
If I don't want to get this wrong, because Tony would be very upset with me. I'm pretty sure that they did debut at MAGFest in a Jam Space show, if I'm not mistaken.
Damn.
And then they did a Stage 2 set when we used to do the 2 stages.
Mm-hmm.
And then they played main stage this year, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Why did it switch from 2 stages to 1?
Logistics was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And we couldn't provide the quality of show that we wanted to provide because we were drowning ourselves in bands. Because we had to have 2 completely, you know, separate tech setups. We couldn't make one epic setup like we always wanted to, which is why we stopped using the built-in stage, which you would think is perfect. And we started just building our own stage because we can give it that extra width and we can put extra, you know, visuals up there and all the kind of crazy scaffolding stuff that we've always wanted to do.
You're not confined by the space.
Exactly. And it makes it so much more fun. This year's stage was so fun.
It was. It was really good. And it looked great.
Yeah, the tech team for concerts this year, I've already told him like 1,000 times, and I gave him so many high fives after the Mega Ran show, because I actually got to watch that one from the tech island, and it was just, it was gorgeous. They really killed it. Our music department is just absolutely on fire.
Now they just need to get the 1-ups back.
Hey, look, I'm not disagreeing with you, and I think you very much know that.
Oh, very much. You got to pull some strings, Adam.
Yeah, that's what everybody tells me.
But I'm a lumberjack, so I'm important.
Yeah, right? I've heard that one a few times, too, from a few people.
Yeah, but how many of them were?
Well, true. 2, 3 total.
Was Brandon one of them?
No. I got you, right?
Yeah.
And then at the time, I had Rez.
Oh, at the time. Yeah, he's not anymore. I miss him.
Okay, but at the time.
At the time.
Yeah.
And then Mike Kemp.
He's not.
He's not?
Nope.
What year did he miss?
I don't know him, but he's not in the Facebook group. And Brendan invited a handful of people that were definitely lumberjacks.
Interesting. So,
I'll have to talk with Brendan to see if he knows.
Yeah.
Maybe he is.
Because he says he's been to all of them.
Yeah, we decided that there's 2 tiers. There's lumberjacks who have been to all of them and woodsmen who were at 1.
Okay.
Who were at MAGFest 1.
Yeah. The Mid-Atlantic Gaming Expo.
Yeah.
Or Festival. Mid-Atlantic Gaming Festival.
Mid-Atlantic Gaming Festival. I'm pretty sure I still have my shirt from MAG 1 somewhere.
Oh, nice.
I've got my program still sitting around somewhere.
I've only ever seen 1 of the programs, 1 of the badges, and 1 of the shirts in person, and they all belong to Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. One of these years, maybe for MAGFest 20, I'm going to wear all of my badges.
Oh, I didn't mean you, Joe. I meant Joe Yamin. Sorry.
Oh, I know.
That's
I know.
Super confused. Okay, yeah. I was going to say, I just realized who you meant.
Yeah. I mean, the only badge that I don't have is two because they ran out. And that's kind of bumming.
Sad face.
Something I was bummed about, but I was also really happy, is I didn't get to play Rock Band at MAGFest this year because there was a line the entire show.
Okay, well, I'm going to hear on your show, eat my words, of what, 7 years ago when I was like, I don't think Rock Band's going to be around all that longer. I'm wrong, Joe. I apologize. I was wrong. Clearly, I was wrong.
God damn it. Don't make his head bigger than it already is.
Yeah, seriously. Well, what's your problem?
So you and Chris never got around to doing Ghosts of Tradition?
No, it never happened. There was...
That would have been the perfect time, too.
Even at like 8 in the morning, there was a line to play the game. It was always hovering around a half hour to play.
Oh, man.
Which is crazy. Bunny said that there was never a time that no one was playing Rock Band.
Wow.
Which is impressive. Maybe it's starting to pick up again.
Yeah, maybe. That's actually pretty awesome. I didn't hear that statistic. Every time I went in there, it was busy, but I figured I was just in there during busy times. It's cool to hear the fact that it was just never not busy. That is interesting. Because there were times where not many people would play it.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it had like bursts, because it would be like multiple groups of friends had gone into the game room, and then one group had decided to do it. The other groups thought it was funny, and then they would sign up to do something funny too. Like, that's how it was for like a year or two, at least when I ran the game room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely picked back up, though. I know that Rocksmith was pretty busy the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys are going to need more Rock Band stations next year, though.
Yeah. Talk to the game room. You know who to contact about that one.
I'll hit up Bunny and let her know.
Experience there, yeah.
The honey bunny. But
if you could just pull some strings, Adam.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
It's all you, Adam.
That'd be great. So
just make me a list of lumberjack demands, and I will make sure that they get looked at by someone at least.
So we want to get a room. We want the one ups back. We want another Rock Band station. What else can we go with? What other demands do we have?
What he's not telling you is
a bowl of green Skittles.
Oh, right. No, that's classic. That's to be expected. Can't even be upset about that one.
What he's not telling you guys is that he's going to make a trash can and tape the word someone on a piece of paper over the trash can. And that's where he's going to put he said, I'm going to give your suggestions to someone, but he's not telling you that someone's the trash can.
Someone the garbage can.
Yep.
Hey, that works.
You're assuming that I would put in the effort to print it.
It would help the joke if you did.
Or I could just relabel my recycle bin on my desktop to someone.
There we go. That works too. That's even better because it's more environmentally friendly. Because you know how we think.
And it's eco-friendly.
Just write up a text file, put everything there, and then send it to someone.
MAGFest, eco-friendly since 2004.
Right.
Oh, man. Well, I know we've been chatting for a while. Adam, I don't want to take up all of your night. Is there anything? Sometimes. And anything else you want to discuss about MAGFest?
I mean, you know, we have all kinds of cool stuff and we have all kinds of cool events during the year. So everybody listening should just check out our website and see what kind of our next event is and come hang out. Come say hi. Ask for Big Adam. Pretty much everybody on site will know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Adam is pretty easy to overlook.
Yeah. Very recognizable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How are the Ravens going to do?
Terrible, because we're out, because we lost. We're losers.
Oh, did it happen?
Yeah, we lost.
Shit, it was this weekend, wasn't it? Damn it.
And I missed the whole game because I was hosting the charity auction, making money for kids with cancer in hospitals, doing the good thing, while my teams just ate shit repeatedly.
Hey, at least you guys made the playoffs, unlike the Steelers.
We did, just barely, and by 2 points, but we did make it.
Yes.
We did do it. Man,
I will hate you forever.
Yeah, well, you know, when it comes to football, I will hate you forever as well. But at least neither one of us are Patriots fans.
Very true. Or Bengals fans.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we will let you get going. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you have any final words, Adam?
Everybody always be cool with each other because this life is short.
Good words.
Yeah, man.
Have Thanks yourself a wonderful me. Night.
You guys are the best.
Take care.
Yeah.
Bye.
Ian, you going to stick around, talk news with us?
Yeah, sure. I can hang around.
Because the big news of the week, we should dive right into this. Big news of the week, Bungie and Activision are splitting up.
Hell, that's like big news of the day.
Yeah, it just happened. Just a few hours before we started to record, Bungie and Activision announced they're splitting up. Bungie is retaining control and ownership of the Destiny IP.
Mm-hmm. I suspect they've had to pay a pretty penny for that to happen.
Probably.
But, yeah, but chances are in the long run, it's probably worth it.
Oh, I'm sure. Can you imagine what kind of game Destiny is going to be without Activision and their microtransactions everywhere?
No. When I was doing a deep dive on the internet about it, the general player base is looking really hopeful about it. Yeah. It's like, now that Activision's not here, man.
Activision is currently holding the EA banner, and that's everybody hates them.
Yeah.
I mean, they have pretty crappy practices, and when Bungie wasn't, quote-unquote, meeting them, they kind of crapped on Bungie.
Yeah. So Bungie and Activision had a 10-year contract, and that was up next year anyway.
Yeah, made it through 8 years of the 10-year contract.
But I suspect that, you know, there had to be some big money involved to make that an amicable split.
Yeah. Just because a little.
I can't imagine that Activision let go of Destiny without a fight of some sort.
Regardless of how quote unquote poorly it's performing.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe Activision wanted to just wash their hands of the situation as well. You never know.
Because their behavior with Destiny has left a stain on their name. I mean, people don't look at Bungie and blame them for what went wrong with Destiny. It's kind of it's the same as we see with Call of Duty. No matter what Treyarch does, or no matter what Infinity Ward does, or Sledgehammer, it's always going to be Activision that eats the shit for whatever goes wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the same effect that, you know, was going on with Destiny. I wouldn't be surprised if they were just like, yeah, we're done being your punching bags to publish this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can make it on our own. So, you know, I mean, as fun as it's been, we're breaking up. We're breaking up. I'm sorry.
We'll just have Call of Duty coming out twice a year now.
Yeah. Oh, well, God. I read somewhere that that Activision basically, like, their expectation was that Bungie would be releasing a DLC or, you know, on a yearly basis.
Yeah, so they've had an expansion or a game come out every year.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, you know, meet the unrealistic standards and expectations that we expect out of a AAA title, then we're throwing you under the bus.
Which works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, well, do you want a really good game, or do you want to make a lot of money? Yes. Okay, we're going to need more than a year. No.
Oh, I was surprised that they didn't, and I don't follow Destiny, so as far as I'm aware of, there wasn't another company working alongside Bungie on it. It was just Bungie.
Yeah, it's just Bungie.
In order to keep up with the yearly Call of Duty franchise, they had to bring in a ton of different studios. There's studios that worked on Black Ops 4 that I'm sitting there going, oh, the four of these guys, I never heard of them. And I'm pretty good at keeping up with who's working on Call of Duty. And yet, at the same time, every year, it's like they've had to add two or three more studios to each title just to keep it on schedule. And we still saw this one come out without a campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, that's the path they were pushing Bungie toward, where you need that yearly something, and it better be big.
Yeah, I don't think Activision
have.
Yeah, but I don't think Activision quite really wrapped their heads around the difference in developing content for a somewhat MMO type game versus just like a straight, you know, like PvP competitive shooter, like, you know, COD and all that. And you can't just, you know, conveyor belt crank out content for an MMO and expect it to be, you know, fresh off the press, amazing. You know, it requires a lot more. I don't
think Activision wanted it to be amazing, though. They just wanted it to be enough that people would buy it.
They just wanted money out of it. They didn't care about an experience.
Yeah. No, I mean, no, I was just going to say, I mean, that's the impression I got, is that, like, Activision really didn't care about Destiny or Destiny 2 as a franchise or as a property. It's just, well, how much can we milk this before cutting it loose?
Yeah.
And Bungie's like, well, okay, this is pretty much as you're going to make under the, you know, the thing that you have us working under, so you might as well just cut us loose now.
Yeah. Okay,
whatever, later.
So what do you think is next for Bungie? Because there's some people speculating that maybe they'll jump back into bed with Microsoft.
The question is, do they need to? I don't know that they need to, because they've got Halo under their belt, although that ship has sailed for them. They've created Destiny. If they want to go full on self-publishing, I can't imagine why they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in their announcement, I mean, they pretty much implied that they've reached a point where they can just publish themselves.
Yeah.
So I've got the impression that they're just going to go full on solo, which is why a lot of the player base is feeling really hopeful about it, because they will have full, complete, autonomous control over their property, and they can finally, you know, sink the time, effort, and skill into making it what it should be, or what they originally wanted it to be. And, you know, it's basically kind of getting to a point where, like, are they going to try to make more DLC for 2, or are they just going to go tabula rasa and start on Destiny 3?
Yeah. I mean,
it's all speculation at this point, but, you know, would it be better for them to just start fresh with D3 or try to salvage D2?
Yeah.
But they're still going to need that income source.
True.
So it could very well be that it ends up being a split the middle type thing, where they have a skeleton crew maintaining Destiny 2 while they work on the side to push out Destiny 3 or whatever new title that they would look forward to. Maybe they'll make Destiny mobile.
Oh God. That's what we need.
I was going to say, if they kind of go that route that you just described, like, they better be upfront and transparent about it, like saying, you know, to everyone, like, this is our plan. We're going to put out some DLC for 2. It might not be the best thing since sliced bread, but the profits on that are going to go into our work for D3.
Yeah.
And, you know, as long as they're upfront and very transparent about their course of action, then I think the player base and the Destiny community can get behind that and support it. But, you know, considering all the things that have been and have not been done up to this point, you know, especially under the thumb of Activision, the Destiny community is a very, very fickle group, and understandably so.
Fickle
is a great fickle. Word. It's also a great word fickle for describing Destiny players.
Any wrestling fans are probably giggling right now at me.
Fickle.
I don't understand this reference.
I know you don't. That's okay, though.
Next!
Have you missed screaming next over the past couple of weeks?
No, I just yell at my kids.
Just yell at your kids.
Well, speaking of dicks.
Speaking of dicks, honey.
Look, y'all act like that's not how I carry on a conversation with my husband anyway.
True. Let's see, what other news do we have?
What's for dinner? Speaking of dicks.
Speaking of dicks. While we were gone, the PlayStation Plus lineup for January was announced and is available now. For the PS3 is Zone of the Enders HD Collection and Amplitude. Amplitude is awesome, by the way, so y'all should check that out. The PlayStation Vita gets Super Mutant Alien Assault and Fallen Legion Flames of Rebellion, which is also available on PS4. And then the PS4 is getting Steep and Portal Knights.
Steep, wow.
So pretty solid lineup there.
Yeah, Portal Knights is apparently okay and all well and good. I keep saying I'm going to download it for the kids to play, and then I forget because it's on Game Pass.
Well, you should download it.
I know. I really need to
I'll play it with you because I've been wanting to complete that game.
Is it an easy completion?
Oh, not. I don't mean like completion achievement wise. Just like beat the game.
Oh, beat it. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, my bad.
My achievement whoring tendencies came to the forefront for a second.
Yeah.
Of course, a habit.
And as a refresher, the Games with Gold Xbox One has Celeste and World Rally Championship 6. Xbox 360 has Far Cry 2 and Lara Croft in The Guardian of Light. So overall, pretty solid month on both ends. I think PlayStation edges it, though.
Because of Steep?
Just because they have more on offer.
Oh.
And they don't have a repeat like Lara Croft in The Guardian of Light.
Oh, yeah, that is a repeat. I forgot.
Celeste is amazing, though, so.
I kind of feel like Celeste makes up for any other shortcomings. Everybody's just going to be playing it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I could see people favoring Xbox over Celeste. Anyway, other news. Three games were added to the Xbox backward compatibility lineup this week. The backward compatible editions are back, thankfully. Battle Stations Pacific, Fuel, and Rayman Raving Rabbids. Interesting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I rented Rayman's Raving Rabbids and then didn't even get to play it before I take it back.
I think I bought it on sale for like $3 one time.
I won't say, because that was a pretty popular game when it came out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
On the Wii, it was pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
With all the motion controls. I don't think it did as well on Xbox and PlayStation. I don't even know if it had move support on PlayStation. I don't know if that was before then or not. Something fun, though. Three achievements are unobtainable on the Xbox version of the game, so don't go into that expecting a completion.
Huh. Well, goddamn.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD are releasing April 16th on Xbox One and Switch, so that is exciting. And then just 2 weeks later, on April 30th, Final Fantasy XII. I am very excited about that.
Hmm. I've never gotten into the Final Fantasy games beyond I play Crystal Chronicles, and that was the only one I liked.
Wow.
Yeah.
You'll have to try 12 when it comes out, because 12 is one of my favorites. So I'm very excited about that one. The PS4 has sold over 91 million units to date worldwide.
That's a pretty impressive number.
That is pretty crazy. I wonder how many of those were the Spider-Man Black Friday bundles that people bought to flip on eBay.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because they were selling, I think, 1 terabyte systems with Spider-Man for like $199, something crazy for Black Friday.
Really?
Yeah, something ridiculous. And I saw pictures on Reddit of people with like shopping carts full of these systems.
Not even surprised by that.
Flip them on eBay. Spider-Man itself has sold over 9 million copies, which is impressive as well.
That doesn't really surprise me. Everyone's been raving about it.
But the puddles!
Puddles. Cole, this is something that might interest you. Did you hear Ubisoft is passing on releasing The Division 2 on Steam? Instead, they are going with the Epic Store.
I did. I heard that. I don't play games like that on PC. Although I did look, and oddly enough, this computer has almost enough stats to play it. My GPU could use a little work, but the rest of my computer could have run the game. But I'm a little surprised that they're just going to wholeheartedly bypass Steam.
Yeah.
Like, I would have expected them to be on Steam and Epic. But to just straight up be like, nah, fuck Steam. That's kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a large player base to just be like, whoop. Sorry, guys. And for a AAA title, too. I hope it doesn't have a serious impact on sales.
It might. It seems because like Division, a pretty big risk.
The Division needs all the love it can get. It's not a franchise I am ready to turn loose of.
Well, some bad news is that The Division is leaving Game Pass at the end of the month.
That is true. And so now everybody that was looking for me to help Sherpa them through the game, you have exactly 20 days So 30 or 31, something like that.
Roughly a month.
Yeah, you really need to get your shit together and just like, don't wait on me to send you a message if you want to be Sherpa through division. You have to join me. Time to
buckle down.
Yeah, because after that, I ain't helping your ass unless you own the game.
Well, good thing I own the game.
Yeah.
So you can Sherpa me through anytime.
Then if you already own the game, wait until February to ask me to Sherpa you so that everybody else gets their time.
Hashtag Sherpa Derpa.
Sherpa Derpa.
Sherpa Derpa.
Couple other games are leaving Game Pass this month, including Letter Quest Remastered, Riptide GP Renegade, and The Escapists, The Walking Dead. So, bummer to see some good games going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's... I hope people played Letter Quest, and if they haven't, they need to get in on that one, because I loved Letter Quest.
I hope people picked up Riptide GP.
My daughter loves Riptide GP.
Riptide Renegade was so good.
Number one loved it.
But it's not all games leaving Game Pass, because while we were gone, a shitload of games got added to Game Pass.
We're up to 9 for the month so far.
Let's see. We have Life is Strange Season 1, the complete season. Mm-hmm. Life is Strange Before the Storm, the complete season. Mm-hmm. Life is Strange 2, Part 1. Ark Survival Evolved. Farming Simulator 17, Absolver, which launched to Game Pass, Just Cause 3, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and Aftercharge, which also launched direct to Game Pass.
I have it on good authority that's not all we're getting this month either.
Oh, I'm sure it's not.
So,
any rumors that you heard?
I didn't hear rumors of specific games. I just knew they said that there was going to be additional announcements. There was one announcement expected on the 3rd, which was the one we got. They actually ended up announcing it a day early, too. But that was the one that was Life is Strange and Ark and
Farming Simulator.
The other 6. And then they said to expect smaller announcements throughout the month. So I would expect we're up for at least one more, if not 2.
Probably.
Yeah. Give me the goodies. I'm glad to see the Farming Simulator games in Game Pass.
Of course you are.
That's ridiculous to say out loud. But it's true, because they have multiplayer. And I never get to play the multiplayer. So now I can just be like, look you motherfuckers, download Farming Simulator.
Which one?
Look you motherfuckers.
All of them. I have literally every farming sim game you can imagine.
Well, that is shocking. Which of them is the best? Which of them is the best?
The actual ones by Giant Software, they kind of run the show. They're the coup de grace of farming simulators. The other ones are all good in their own ways, but the actual Farming Simulator 17 and 18 and 19, they're the ones that really stand out. They're the top of the heap.
Nice. But that's all the news I got. Any news on your end that I didn't mention, because I kind of just went for the highlights?
Phil Spencer was on the stage at CES with AMD.
Did that happen already?
Yeah, it did. You missed it.
Cool. What happened?
Because you were festing with Mags.
I was.
I couldn't actually get the clip to play. It was giving me an error. But
oh, that's
apparently
helpful.
Yeah, I know it, right? I was sitting there like slamming the button. Play, come on. I'm going to talk about this. I need to have news. So the Joe isn't like, what'd you do for the last 3 weeks? And I have to be like, sit on my thumb and play The Sims.
I did jack shit.
Played The Sims.
Jack and shit.
But if I'm not mistaken, there was some discussion about the new Xboxes and them having AMD processors in them, and so how exciting.
That's nifty.
Yeah.
Anything
I don't think
else?
That's any big surprise. I think we were kind of expecting it to have an AMD. It's just the specifics of it.
Yeah.
So nope,
anything
that's
else?
It. That's
Ian, you got any news that you want to talk about?
No. I mean, the only one I really brought to the table was the Activision Bungie split, but I'm good.
Cool.
I'm good. Totally good. Yeah.
So reviews, what is it? You have 2 of them, Cole?
I do. What is this? How was I supposed to be on vacation and I still had two reviews? This is heavy horse shit.
and then you'll have a couple for next week as well, but you got two to talk about. Ian, did you want to stick around for these or what did you want to do?
Oh, yeah.
Ian's just waiting for me to say something he can make fun of.
Well, I can hang around, but I mean, I'd just probably end up lurking in the background.
That's fine. It's only two games, so.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Cool. First one to talk about is called Hive Jump, developed and published by Graphite Lab, released January 11th on Xbox One and Switch for $9.99. In the 24th century, humanity is at war with a hostile alien race. Outnumbered 1,000,000 to 1, mankind's only hope for survival is the Jump Corps. You and your friends assume the role of jumpers and blast your way through subterranean alien hives and chaotic run-and-gun 2D platforming action. Win the final battle against the Hive Queen to save the galaxy. Cole, tell us about it.
So basically, as you just described, Hive Jump. I'm gonna make that mistake a million times because in the game they're called jumpers, and so I just keep wanting to say Hive Jumpers instead of Hive Jump.
It's okay, we understand.
But Hive Jump is basically just a 2D platforming, but there's a few extra mechanics in it in that you have a jetpack and you can hover and you can kind of fly up for little distances. You really are playing as these soldiers that are taking on these aliens and just trying to explore these hives. So there's different ways to play. There's a campaign, there's an arcade, and then there's some challenges that you can play as well. If you're playing the campaign, you will start off the game with like a mini map that you have to play strategically. It is completely out of left field. You don't expect this at all because you're going into it expecting a 2D platformer. And it's like, okay, here's a map. Good luck. But you have to actually explore the different nodes on the map. You will need to have some goo, which is the game's currency. Goo is only dropped when you kill aliens. So when you first start this, you can't do much except for just wait for a hive to pop up. Once you have a hive that you have found on the map, then you can jump into it. When you jump into it, it takes you to the actual hive, which is the 2D platforming level. You crash into it and then you're free to go. You can explore it in any way that you want. You can go up, down, left, right. Does not matter. It's all up to you.
You can go directions.
You can go any goddamn direction your heart pleases.
Hot shit.
However, you're going to get lost. There is no mini map of these levels whatsoever. There's no indicator of where you are. There's no indicator of where you should or could go. It's just explore and good luck. The upside to this is that you don't feel pressured to just get from A to B. The downside to this is that if you find something cool on your way, but then you go explore a little beyond it, good luck remembering where it was to get back. And I say there's something cool on your way. There are doors scattered throughout these hives that you can go into, and it'll give you like a little challenge room. So it'll say, okay, get through this room without using your jetpack and you'll get a reward. Or get through this room and kill a certain amount of enemies. And at the end, there will be a box with a reward in it. If you fuck up and you don't complete that mission for that room, first off, you will lose your Marine. And second off, you will get kicked out of the room and the door closes and you can't go back. You get one shot, one shot only. Losing your Marine isn't the worst thing that can happen to you, though. There's the Marines are meant to be interchangeable. They all have ridiculously goofy names. They all are very mundane. They look the same. They don't have any special abilities or anything different between them. It's just, this is, what was the name of the one? He was like Bob Fuzzy Pants or something like that. It was so ridiculous. And
you want to know what's more ridiculous than that?
What?
Swizzler's dropping 200 biddies. That is That's awesome.
That's pretty ridiculous.
All right.
Yeah, boy.
Hooray. Yay. Hooray for Swizzlers. Okay. Gonna make me lose my place, Swizzlers. God damn it. We can't afford that shit.
Anyway, Bob Fuzzy Pants.
So you, when you lose your Marine, you just get another one in their place. But there's a lag in how long it takes for a new one to be transported. You don't immediately die. There's no limits to how many times you can lose your Marines, your jumpers, as long as you keep your jetpack alive. So basically, like, so jumpers are just human shields for the jetpacks is what it amounts to. And you can let them die as many fucking times as you want. Just keep your jetpack alive. Your jetpack only takes damage when you're without a jumper. I gotta quit calling them Marines. I don't know why I want to do that. But as long as you've got a jumper, you're fine. Unlimited respawns, just tear into it and go. If you lose your jumper, you have the little, I want to say it's like two seconds or something. It's really not an extended period of time. But when there's a lot going on screen, it can feel like it's seriously dangerous. The enemies can at that time attack the jetpack, and there's a life bar that will pop up in the middle that shows you, yeah, if you die too many more times and your jetpack gets hit, you're fucked. That's the only way to lose while exploring a hive. That doesn't mean that you're not going to lose while you're exploring a hive.
No, because you're going to.
Oh, so many times. The hives all have different levels. They're procedurally generated. If you do lose and you go back, it could be the exact same hive and you're still going to be fucked because it's a completely different area. And again, no maps or anything in that regard. So, it certainly stays fresh because you're not going to know where the fuck you are. Once you've got through all of the levels of the hive, eventually you reach the hive queen, and destroying the queen is ultimately how you destroy the hive and can move on. I'd love to tell you that I'm like the biggest, baddest bitch and killed all these queens, and I have not.
Me neither. This is a tough fucking game.
It really is. Playing against the hive bosses, the hive queens, it's it drops from like a platforming game to a bullet hell shmup type thing, and you're just like, no, save me, I cannot handle this. I was doing a lot better when I could stand on a platform and throw a grenade and wait for it to explode. That's my favorite way to deal with this game. the controls are super simple. It's left trigger. It takes a second for me to get used to. I always hate when jumping is applied to a trigger. But for this, it works because left trigger once jumps, and left trigger again lets you use the jetpack itself. So it kind of became second nature really quickly. It's an easy to adjust to control scheme. You don't use any of the face buttons, or at least none of the equipment I unlocked did. You can unlock different things for your loadout. There's rather than having regular grenades, you can have sticky grenades, or you can use your goo to buy cluster grenades that will explode on impact and turn into smaller grenades that scatter everywhere, just like in Call of Duty. And,
bringing it back to Call of Duty.
Yeah, I like to keep things circular. tie it all together. There's other options, like instead of just having assault rounds and pellets, you can upgrade them to make them more powerful. They'll be armor piercing, or you can swap them out and have shotgun variety or laser blast instead. So there's plenty of opportunities for customizing your loadout. There's also the ability to play the game up to 4-player local co-op. I wish like hell this was online, because this would be a blast to drag some of my friends through. Oh, otherwise, yeah. I just had to play it with my kids. Number one, she had some difficulty. It wasn't really working for her. And I do think that playing online would have been a quite an experience. Unfortunately, it is what it is. It's multiplayer on local only. My absolute biggest complaint of the game is that the achievement list is a nightmare. Like, it is horribly grindy. I don't know how anybody is going to sit. Like, there is one for spending 5 hours in the game in the air.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's obscene.
Okay,
that doesn't count any time where your jumpers are feet on the ground. If they're not levitating with the jetpack, your time's not going up for that one. And there were some others that were 10 hours, different tasks. And it's just, it's excessive. When you're playing as well, like I said, you go through the challenge rooms and you'll find the chests. And sometimes these are just in the regular levels too, but you'll unlock a chest and sometimes they'll have a relic in it. The relics, will give you like, health regeneration or slower cooldowns, less of a cooldown on your equipment or whatever, which is all well and good, but there's also an achievement for collecting every relic. And because they just pop out of chest, it's RNG. And you have no way to know, yes, I've collected all of these. No, I have not. So, it's if you're an achievement hunter, just
good luck.
But if you're looking for a hardcore run and gun 2D experience that you can just kind of play mindlessly with a couple of friends in the same room with you, you're probably going to have a blast.
Well, then $10, what do you think?
I do give it a very recommended try. It's a lot of fun. It's just the difficulty spikes and hard. That grindy ass achievement list really strike against it.
Go ahead, Ian.
And I was like, oh, hey, you learned the basic fundamentals. Okay, now hold my beer.
Yeah.
I love those games.
Yeah.
Hey, you completed the tutorial. Cool. Now to hardcore mode.
Yeah. Did you play it while you were here, Ian? Did you just watch me play it?
No, I think I just watched you play it.
Okay. Yeah, I kicked my ass pretty bad.
It took me a while and unlocking quite a few upgrades before I was doing pretty decent at it. So I got the Hive Queen on one of my jumps down maybe about half an inch of a health bar left. And then I got wrecked. Oh, and I just wanted to cry. I was like, I hate games like this.
I got about 3/4 of the way.
Oh, I was just so aggravated. And I was like, well, I'm done. It's review time.
Speaking of, we got one final game to talk about tonight. That is called Void Vikings, developed and published by Ugly Beard Games. Also released January 11th on Xbox One for $4.99. Void Vikings is an arcade-style top-down 2.5D space shooter where intense action is the focus and choosing the right education could pay off. What? That seemed weird. Choosing the right education could pay off. I don't understand that. Does it make sense in the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say, education kind of sounds like something synonymous with a skill tree.
Probably. Manage your space bucks in order to destroy your student loans before you die. Oh, okay. Now it's making sense. If you succeed, your score could sing your praises through all of Valhalla. Cole, tell us about it because I kind of butchered that right up.
Okay. So first and foremost, there are no actual Vikings in this game.
Oh, well, the fuck Vikings that. Deny it. A lie.
Be fun.
This is a top-down 2.5D space shooter.
Without Vikings. If it makes you, without Vikings.
Without Vikings. But if it makes you feel better, the two ships you get, their names are like Odin and Freya.
Okay, so then they're Vikings.
That's basically where the Viking aspect comes in at.
So they're referring to the ships.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll let it slide for now.
Okay. So when you first start up the game, you have to choose your loadout, and everything comes at a cost, including your education. So the education part basically boils down to you choosing what kind of skills and perks and benefits are going to affect your ship. You can buy some different upgrades, choosing an education that might let you have higher attack, but might cause you to suffer in the defense section a little, if you will. Mm. So each of these educations, basically, there's I want to say there was 5 or 6 different ones you could choose from, but they all had a base value. I think the one I chose was like $460, which is incredibly cheap for an education. That is the lowest student loan fucking ever. There's also some other modifications you can make, and basically they all just amount to my ship's faster, or my ship has more health, or whatever. You can choose your loadout, but every little thing can make that base loan cost go up or down. After you've done that, then you get to take your little ship. I chose Freya. I don't remember why I didn't choose Odin. I think it was she had better defense or something. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to die. your loan amount is given to you, and you're whisked off to where you can choose between four different difficulties, I want to say. Maybe 5. Might have been 5.
Bunch of different difficulties.
You choose from your difficulties. Each difficulty takes place in a different galaxy. So, like, the highest, most difficult one is Alpha Centauri. I chose the pussy, crybaby mode one because I didn't know what I was doing and I have arthritis.
Excuses.
Also, I wanted to learn what the fuck I was doing. So, once you get into the galaxy, you have the option to just blast everything that's there. There's asteroids that will float around. They can't hurt you. You can't kill them. They're just for looks. It's a little disappointing because I kept trying to like weave and navigate around them thinking they were going to be an issue. And then I just drove through one and I was like, aw. That was disappointing and very anticlimactic. I thought I was going to explode. I did not. Every enemy that is in your vicinity they will be off screen to start with, but there will be red arrows pointing to where they are. So you can just kind of boost around until you get to them, shoot them out of the air, and call it a day. Once you've destroyed an enemy, they will drop. They may drop health, they may drop shields, they may drop upgrade parts for your ship, and they may just straight up drop some money, which you're hoping for because student loans.
student loans.
I feel like this is an analogy for something, and I can't put my finger on what it is. So, after you've destroyed all of the enemies in an area, you have the option to jump to the next segment. If you jump to the next segment, you are going to accrue interest on your loan. So what you ideally want to do is take whatever parts you have found, sort through them until you find the better ones that will upgrade your ship specifically. And this is where the game shines, because every piece, there's a very detailed listing at the top right hand of the screen where every piece shows you it's going to slow this down, it's going to speed that up. It gives you a straight up, this is good, this is bad list to make it easy on you.
That's always good.
When you finish upgrading, deciding what you're going to keep and what you're going to put on and what you're not, then you can actually go back and choose to melt down either individually or just melt down everything. I was lazy. I took the melt down everything approach. Melt it down for scrap, whatever parts that you got that you don't want to keep, and then you'll get paid for them. Nice. Now, it's important that before you jump to the next day, you make a payment on your loan. because you are going to, yeah, you're going to accrue interest, and you may find yourself having to grind away at the higher difficulties for no good damn reason, just because you owe a fuck ton of money still. So definitely take your opportunities to pay off anytime you've got them. Once you've actually finished up a galaxy, you can then choose one of the higher difficulties to take on. And you just keep working your way through the higher difficulties until you get your loan paid off completely. Once your loan is completely paid off and you've paid for your education, then you get to go to Valhalla. And this is basically the game with no limits. You get to keep whatever upgrades you've previously installed. Anything that you've bought for your education and all that goes with you. You go to Valhalla and you just get a constant barrage of enemies to take down. And you just want to go for as long as you can. And at this point, it's just a matter of earning score to get a place on the leaderboard. Last time I checked, I was number one.
Oh, wow.
So come at me, bro.
Bro, you will be cummed at. That sounds bad.
Good luck. But I thought it was a really interesting way to make it to where it's an analogy. You pay off your student loans, you get to keep your score, right?
Yeah.
So it was kind of humorous, and I've had a good time, a good run at the top of the leaderboard. I fully expect everybody's going to decimate me tomorrow because I won't have to play on Super Pussy Crybaby mode.
Well, then $5 on it. What do you think? Sounds like a no-brainer.
I give it a buy. It was a lot of fun. The price is good. I was surprised. I wasn't expecting it to be $5. I really did enjoy it. And it's one of those that you can just play mindlessly and just wreck things and enjoy them. So I had a lot of fun with it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, that is it for this episode. Ian, thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, no problem, dude.
Anything else you want to talk about before we wrap things up?
No, not really.
Is there anything you want to ask me to say
before we... Is there anything I want to ask you to say? No, thank you. I reckon everything's good on this end, yeah. I'm on final diet, you know?
No time earlier enjoyed your halves.
What I said?
Oh, yeah.
Halves.
Oh, half jump.
Said
halves. I wasn't even thinking about that when I was saying it, but yeah, I guess I do say that one funny.
Halves. Swizzlers dropping an extra 50 bitties, so shout out to Swizzlers once again.
Yeah.
Recording saying dropping bits.
Oh, that's different person who says dropping bits. That's George.
Yep, that's George.
You could try it, though.
But me?
Yeah.
I have your stream muted, so I don't even know what the notification sounds like.
Oh, I don't have a notification.
Oh.
That's the problem. I don't have a notification, and I think I'm being forced into making a notification sound for when bits get dropped. We need all your guests to say it their own way. What, so pops? No, dropping bits. That's what you got to say.
Oh, okay. Dropping bits.
Nice. Oh, shit.
We're just going to record everybody saying that and then have a great bit off and let everybody
bit off.
Bits of steel. Bits of steel.
Dropping bits.
Dropping them bitties.
The joke is that George, there's a porn star that he likes who says dropping loads. What the fuck is his name? Is it Nick Manning or something like that? It's just like dropping loads. So when George was on doing a review of what was it, Bard's Tale 4, Swizzlers dropped bits.
Dropping bitties.
Dropping bits. So I got to get George to record himself screaming, dropping bits. Tiggle bitties, dropping loads from Lios Van Hun. Dropping loads. Right.
Pretty sure that the terms of service.
All right.
It might be. We should wrap this up before we get shut down.
Yeah.
I do love them bitties.
So music this episode, I got bored and I ripped all of the songs from Frank Klepacki and the Tiberian Sons.
Two hours later.
So I'm going to play a couple of songs from Frank Klepacki and the Tiberian Sons from MAGFest.
Nice.
All right. Yeah, good I was totally listening to that the other night. It sounds so much better than it did live.
It does.
I mean, not to poo-poo on the guys that, you know, did the tech work and the sound design and everything. But then again, I mean, that's always the nature of live versus, you know, direct recording.
Yeah. But we're going to rock out to that. Ian, do you have any final words to end the show?
Drop in biddies. We'll be right back.
overwhelm and destroy. The product of a tortured brain. Creation of the humanoids. Powers to overwhelm and destroy. The product of a tortured brain. Feeling of helplessness is your best friend, Savage.
I can say about that is, oh snap.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up loud. Holy crap, man.
Are you ready, Max?